Deuteronomy 6:12. Bible says, "Then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage." Let's pray. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for these guys being here. Lord, please, I pray you would just take control of our time right now. I pray that, God, you would use me and, God, give me the right words and thoughts and spirit, Lord, to communicate this how you want, Lord, in a way that will please you, in a way that will help these guys, Lord. We don't want to just do this because we have to, Lord. We want you to use it and, God, to change our lives to be more like you. Please, Lord, help us to hear your voice through the preaching. Give us what we need individually. Pray you would just hit the nail on the head, Lord. Give us what we need and make us more like you. Help us to love you more as a result, Lord. Thank you for your goodness. Bless this day in Jesus' name. Amen. You guys can be seated. Thank you for standing. So we are in the midst of a series called Back to Bondage, all right? And it is basically a contrast of another series we did a couple weeks ago. And we're talking about, guys, how people, how do they walk away? How do they basically quit on God or roll out from the Lord and forsake him? How does that happen, right? You say, Brother Simon, why are we studying this? Why are we taking time to talk about this? Listen, guys, Winston Churchill, a famous figure in history, said, if we don't learn from history, we are bound to repeat it, all right? If we don't learn the lessons of people that have gone before us, we're going to do the exact same thing. So we've got to learn some of these lessons. The first lesson, guys, when we're talking about back to bondage, where I think that it starts a lot of times, I'm talking about guys that grow up in church, people just like you that have heard a lot of the Bible, you know all the stories, and you know all the miracles Jesus did. How does it happen that people like us go back to bondage, go back to the devil's crowd, go back to the wicked things? Although they've grown up around church, how does it happen? I think it starts, guys, a lot of cases with a lack of appreciation, right? God has done so much in their life. God's given them great parents. They've had a smooth life pretty much. God's provided for their parents and their family. They've had safety. But somewhere along the line, guys, they think that's just the way it is. That's just how it happened. I don't need to thank God for it. I don't need to get down on my knees and say, Lord, thank you for my mom and dad. Lord, thank you for what you've done for us. Lord, thank you for our church. Thank you for my Bible. Thank you for how you've helped me through situations. Somewhere along the line, guys, they get astray. They get off track in their minds and they think, no, that's just the way it happened. It's just how it worked out. You know, maybe that's happened in my life and that didn't happen to somebody else, but I guess I'm just one of the quote unquote lucky ones. No, you're not just one of the quote unquote lucky ones. God has been good to you. He's blessed you. His grace has spilled out on your life and on your family. And guys, not just his grace, but those that have gone before us. Listen, if you have a godly mom and dad, thank God for that. If you have people that care about you, that pray for you, that pick you up, that try to teach you, that try to mentor you, that try to push you in the right direction. God, guys, thank God for that. We reap the benefits of that. Bible talks about a just man walks in his integrity and his children are blessed after him. Because he takes a stand for God, that residual benefit and blessing pours out over our lives. I'm thankful for that, guys. I have grown up in that. But you know what, Nathan? I don't want to just think, yeah, that's just how it was. You know, I guess it just worked out. It just worked out on the good side for me. Guys, God did that for me, and I need to be thankful. And I need to be thankful for the sacrifice and the stand of other Christians that have gone before us. These people are unaware of a change. They walk in, everything's cool, everything's smooth, everything's nice, and they just think that's just the way it was. And God says, you be careful in those situations. You be careful. Why? Because of verse number 12. You beware lest thou forget the Lord. Guys, when all these good things are in your life, if you don't appreciate them, you know what's going to rise up within you? Pride. Pride is saying, I don't need God. I can do it myself. I'm better than everybody else. I'm higher than everybody else. And in some way, God has just blessed me more than others, although you don't even acknowledge that God did it. He says, you beware, Israel, that you don't forget God. Guys, don't forget God. If there's anything good in your life, it comes from him. Don't forget about it. Don't forget about him. The underlying cautioning. Listen, that pride can rise up within us very often. And then, guys, we touched on this last week. I do want to reiterate this quickly to you, though. How do we fight against this? We all struggle with pride. I would say most people, we struggle with that. So how do we counteract it? What are we supposed to do? You know what you're supposed to do? Be thankful. Be thankful. That's how you can counteract it. The Bible talks about it in everything, give thanks. In 1 Thessalonians, in Ephesians, it says giving thanks always. Are you a thankful young man? Are you a thankful person? Are you thankful in your family? If you don't watch it, you can just take that stuff for granted. Well, mom, you have to cook for me. Y'all have to take care of me. I get it. That's you are their responsibility, but they don't have to do anything for you. You need to appreciate what your family does, what your friends do, what people that care about you do. Guys, be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. If somebody does something for you, realize this, guys. They don't have to. Put that thought in your mind before you say they have to. No, they don't. And if they do it, they don't have to do it with a good attitude. Okay, so if they Genesis 32, he said, God, I'm not worthy of the least of your mercies and of your truth that you've showed unto thy servant. You know what he's saying, God? You've been merciful to me. God, I'm not worthy of that. I don't deserve that. And of the truth that you've taught me. Guys, God has taught you guys a lot of truth. Do you ever thank him for it? Hey, guys, you know stuff like this. Most of the people in the world don't. They're tricked by it. They think it's good for them. Most guys, Brother Zach is on these college campuses trying to reach people with the gospel. You know, most people on those college campuses, they think drinking is fun. They think the parties are fun. That's where it's at. Every weekend, that's what they're doing. They're waking up, not realizing what they did or where they've been or what actions they took part in. Guys, that's not fun. That's foolishness. That's lunacy. But in the world, they teach that that's what real fun is all about. Guys, don't let that pride rise up. How do I counteract it, Brother Tom? Be thankful, be thankful, be thankful. Hey, what did you thank God for this week? Who humanly have you thanked this week for what they do for you? Maybe your teachers, maybe people that pray for you, maybe people that encourage you. Hey, I don't know about you. If I get a text during the week, say, hey, man, praying for you. I appreciate that. I appreciate that. They send me a Bible verse and just say, hey, this was a blessing to me. I wanted to share it with you. That's something I need. I appreciate that. Do you ever thank people? Or is that just something that you've categorized as normal and I don't need to appreciate it anymore? And then, guys, before I bring up point number two, there's an unthinkable conclusion. You know what people do? They want the same blessings as their parents and the families that they grew up in. But you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to go about it differently. Guys, can I teach you something? That is impossible. That is impossible. You ever heard, I think most of you have heard, I'm going to go out on a skinny limb here real quick. All right. But I think most of you have ever heard Einstein's definition of insanity. You ever heard that? Hopefully you have. If you're not, when I say it, it'll probably click. His definition of insanity, Albert Einstein, is this. Doing the same thing over and over, expecting different results. That's impossible, right? You do the same thing over and over, it's not going to come out different. It's going to come out the same. Guys, can I kind of flip that around real quick? You can't do different things and expect a similar or same result every time. You know what I'm saying? And guys, if people growing up have been in homes where they go to church, where they take a stand for God, where they stay away from sin, they don't go to the movies, they don't have beer in the house, they're trying to honor God and they're trying to put him first. In all these different ways, they believe in modesty and they're sincere. But yet I go the total opposite. I'm fake. I'm not sincere. I think I can watch all the filthy movies and it won't affect me. I don't believe in modesty. I think girls can dress trashy if they want to. And my mom and dad were faithful to each other, but I think I can cheat around and try to sneak around. And they didn't believe in having beer. They shouldn't even look at it. That's what the Bible says. That's what they practice. But I think I can play around with it. And I can skip church whenever I want to. Then guess what? I won't get the same results as they did. Right? Michael, I'm not playing. I want you to listen. All right? Listen, I won't get the same results as they did. I can't do something completely opposite of what my parents did and say, no, I'm still going to get the blessings of God. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't work that way. If you want the blessings of those that have gone before you, if you want God to bless your life like he has there, then follow their steps. Right? That would just make sense. Hey, Tim's a strong dude. Brother Bob attests to it. But listen, Tim's a strong dude. Listen, if I go in the gym with Tim, which I do not, all right? I do that on purpose, all right? But listen, if I go in the gym with Tim, I say, Tim, teach me everything, all right? I will follow you, sir, all right? And he gets in there and he starts doing his workout routine. And then halfway through, I say, Tim, no, I'm not going to do that. And I start implementing my little shortcuts. I know you did this many sets and this many reps, but Tim, I'm not going to do that. Then guess what? I'm not going to get the same results that he did. Or if I do that and Tim, you know, not only does the workouts, but he watches what he eats. Eats? I don't know. Help me with that later. All right, Ethan. What he eats later. All right. You're the grammar guy. You're always getting on my nerves. No, I'm kidding. He doesn't do that. All right. But listen, watch what he eats afterwards. Listen, if I say, all right, Tim, we did a good workout. Now I'm going to go to Wendy's. That ain't going to help me, right? It's not going to help me and get my triple burger or whatever it is. All right. It's not going to help me. Listen, guys, if I want the same results, I got to do the same thing. I can't do something completely different. Yep, Tim, I'm going to jack too. No, I'm going to be fat too. All right? You get what I'm saying? You can't do something completely different except the same results. But a lot of people try to do that in the Christian life. Well, I know Pastor has a certain way of beliefs. Brother Tut and all these heroes we had before us, the Webbs and the Tripps and the Wyatts and so forth and Pastor Fenwick. I know they lived a certain way, but, you know, I don't think I need to do it that way. Then you're not going to get the same results. But a lot of people still think they can. It's not too smart, right? Moving on to point number two, we just dove into this last week. So lack of appreciation, you know what it turns into, guys? Love is absent. Because they don't appreciate the blessings of God in their life, then they don't feel they need to love God. Hey, guys, a key ingredient to love is appreciation and gratitude. Let me teach you that now. I don't have time to dwell on this. Listen, guys, when you get married in the future, make sure you appreciate what your wife does for you. Listen, it may be quote unquote kind of natural when you first start, but you got to work at that as time goes along. Because you know what the devil wants to do? The devil wants to diminish the blessings of God and make you not appreciate them and then elevate how good the things of the world look. Okay. And you can apply this to marriage. You can apply this in any area. We're doing it the Christian life, but the devil wants to say, that's not that big a deal. The blessings of God, not that big a deal. You don't have to appreciate them. And when you do that, guys, then the things of this world start looking really appealing. Got to be careful. A key ingredient to love is gratefulness, gratitude, and appreciation. But if we don't think that he's ever done anything for us foolishly, the reason is removed, and then we start living our life in a ridiculous way. We think, I don't need to rely on God. I don't need to say, God, what can I do for you after all you've done for me? Because apparently I don't think he's done that much for me. Whew, careful. And there's unwise removing. And then we get into the fact, guys, where we think God's rules and laws are just overbearing and they're brutal and they just beat us down. And God's up in heaven just throwing more rules on top of us because he has nothing better to do. That's what some people think. Hey, guys, can I throw a verse at you that I thought of late last night? But, man, this is something very important. This is Joshua. Listen to this, and then we're moving into new territory. Joshua 23:11. All right? It says this. Take good heed, therefore, unto yourselves, that ye love the Lord your God. Guys, that is a very, very, very key verse. Can I ask the teen boys walk the walk class today in May of 2022? Do you love God like you should? Listen, we could preach a whole message, a whole series of messages on that verse just itself. But you know what it's saying? Take good heed unto yourselves. Watch out, guys, that you love God personally. Do you love him? Listen, he's done everything for you. If you have something good in your life, it comes from him. Have you thanked him for it? Do you appreciate him for it? He died on the cross for you. But you know what, guys? Many Christians sitting in the pews today, they don't appreciate what God has done. That story in the Bible where Jesus healed 10 lepers. You remember how many came back to thank him? One. And I would say the numbers and the statistics are very similar. In 2022, many Christians, God's done great things for many of his children, all of his children. But not many appreciate it, and they don't love him like they should. All right, guys, where does it continue? We're into point number three now. So back to bondage, a lack of appreciation. It progresses to love is absent. And then, guys, point number three, the law is abhorred. The law is abhorred. You're in Deuteronomy, right? Go to chapter 8, verse number 11. This is where I'm going to launch out from this one. The law is abhorred. So I don't appreciate what God has done, even though he's done everything for me. I don't give him credit for that because I just think I'm lucky. Privilege. That's just how it happened. And then because I don't appreciate what he's done, Ethan, then I don't think I need to love God because I don't need to be like one of those pitiful people down on my knees. Lord, thank you for everything you've done. Oh, come on. Watch out. Watch out. Are you too proud to go to the altar? Are you too proud to thank God? Are you too proud to read your Bible? Watch out. Watch out. Beware lest thou forget the Lord. And what does it transition to? The law is abhorred. You know what abhor means? Hate. Despise, something I can't stand. Not only, guys, is it abandoned, they don't do it, they get away from it, but it turns into something that you despise. Listen, let me get on with the verse and I'll explain that later. Verse number 11 of chapter 8, beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. What are the next five words? Verse number 11 of chapter 8, Deuteronomy. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God. There we go. In not keeping his commandments. How do we forget God? I think one way, we don't appreciate what he's done. right? We don't love him. But guys, that's where it progresses to. That's where it transitions to. I don't need to do what he says. I don't need to do what he says. So lack of appreciation and love is absent, but it turns into the law is abhorred. Hey guys, how does this happen? How does it work out? So get this, guys, get this. Those of you that are growing up in church, watch out right now, okay? How does it happen that people just like you that have gone before you and gone before me, they've heard the same stuff that we've heard? And listen, it's not just that they don't do certain things to the Bible. You know what it turns into, guys? Listen, you know what it turns into? They actively hate it and oppose it. Hey, guys, this is why we have recovering fundamentalism online. You know what we need to do? We need to rediscover what true fundamentalism is. You don't need to recover from it. You don't need some pill to help you recover. It's a good thing. It's the greatest thing that can happen to you. It's the truth. All right. But these people are bashing it. How does that happen? A lot of things along these lines. There are certain things they didn't like. They didn't agree with. How does it happen? Can I say, I think, first of all, guys, the devil, he gets the rules mindset. He throws it out of whack in our minds. Okay. You remember back a couple chapters ago, the son, he asked his dad, "Dad, why do we have to do these things that God commanded you?" He didn't command me. He commanded you. And that's not factual. God commanded all of us. You guys tell me, how did Satan tempt Eve in the Garden of Eden? How did he go about it?
I guess because
God told Adam. Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's a part of it. She didn't lock down the information for herself. What else though? How did the devil come after Eve in the Garden of Eden?
He started to make her doubt God.
Right. Right. And you know one thing that he does, guys, as he comes after her, trying to tempt her, he says at the end, this is Genesis 3:1, you don't have to turn, but think about this. He says, so let me get this straight. The first words out of the devil's mouth are, "Yea, hath God said," trying to get her to doubt. And then he says, in so many words, let me get this straight. You can't eat every tree of the garden? Now, guys, technically, I get what the devil's saying. But guys, I think in my mind, Nathan, I think there were probably hundreds of trees, if not more, in the Garden of Eden. I don't think, my personal opinion, I don't think that one tree, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that it was really much different than any other of the trees. Micah, I think if they ate this tree over here, that one, it's all pretty much the same. That's my thinking. I could be wrong, but that's my thinking. But you know what? What did the devil say? Oh, so God won't let you do that? What is he doing, guys? He's saying, oh, God won't allow you. God's over top of you, trying to keep you from fun. God's beating you down like a slave master. No, George, you can't look at this. You can't go there. You can't wear this. You can't talk like this. Burn, burn. You see how the devil's trying to distort how God truly is? And you know what Eve was doing? She's saying, yeah, he's got a point. She's falling for it. She's taking the bait, guys, and the devil says, oh, I see I got an advantage here. Let me reel her in. Hey, guys, let me ask you, is the devil banging stuff in your mind saying, oh, you don't, it's a big deal that you don't get to listen to this, or you don't get to go here, or you don't get to act like this, or, man, if you say a bad word, they're going to be all over your case about it. Guys, listen, you don't have to, as our pastor says, you don't have to come to church. You get to come to church. You don't have to serve God. You get to serve God. You don't have to read your Bible every day. You get to read your Bible every day. Listen, most people in the world don't know the truth that's in this book, but most of you guys do. I don't know whether you read it or not every day, but you have the truth presented to you. You have the ability to talk to God every day. A lot of people don't know that. They're caught up in these false religions. They don't know. But what does the devil try to do? He tries to get our thinking out of whack. Later on in that chapter, he says, God doth know that in the day you eat thereof, then you're going to be as gods. Knowing good and evil. You know what God's actually trying to do, Eve? He's trying to hold you back. He's trying to limit you. He's trying to restrict you. Hey, guys, a lot of people fall for that. That's why in our preaching and in our behavior, and listen, if you notice these things in your circle of friends, correct them. I'm not saying bash people and preach their face off, but you need to correct them. Say, no. Don't start thinking like that. Hey, guys, you know what we emphasize in the Christian life? The relationship. You and the Lord, you and him. Hey guys, if you love him, which is what I was just talking about, listen, if you love him like you should, young man, you won't have a problem reading your Bible. Mm-hmm. You won't have a problem coming to church. Yep. You won't have a problem praying. Let's keep going. You won't have a problem giving tracts to people. Yep. You won't have a problem living holy. Yep. Micah, I won't spend all my time complaining about, man, I don't get to do this, and I don't get to go here, and I don't get to wear this, and I don't get to say this. Shut up. Get your focus on how good God has been and love him. And realize without him, you'd be burning in hell. And I would be burning in hell right now. And realize, listen, whatever rules he puts in my life is for my good. It's to keep me away from danger, from hurt, and from harm. And guys, we've got to emphasize the relationship. But you know what the devil does? He wants to emphasize the rules. And we have rules. I'm not saying, no, we don't have any rules. No, don't get me wrong. We do. But you know, the devil just wants to pound us in our mind. Tim, you have to do this. Hey, you ever have people at your work or just people out in the world that live in your neighborhood and they say, oh, Nathan, so you, let me get this straight. You have to go to church 3 times a week. What happens if you don't? Like you die the next day, right? They don't get it. But what are they saying? You have to do this? No, I don't have to. I get to. We've got to emphasize the relationship, guys. We've got to emphasize the relationship. Listen, I don't wake up every day, get out of bed and think, oh, I have to be nice to my wife today. I have to treat her well. I have to do this for her. I have to do that for her. I probably got to go somewhere and buy something for her. Oh, my good. Are you kidding me? No, I think I love my wife. If I need to do this, sure. Why not? If I need to do that, sure. Why not? Hey, if I can help her in some way, if it's in my ability to do it, I'm going to do it. Hey, guys, you emphasize the relationship, not the rules, but that's what the devil beats you in the head with. Hey, guys, you know what the Bible says? 1 John 5:3. Says, this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. Hey, guys, if you really love God, you ain't going to be complaining about everything God has you do or things that God won't allow you to do. You'll say, thank you, Lord, for telling me. Yeah, I don't know if you're listening, but that's true from the Bible, what I just said. If you love God like you should, you're not going to be complaining about all the rules of the Christian life. You're going to say, thank you, God, for telling me. Hey, guys, I may not have been too smart as a child, a toddler running around. But listen, if my parents told me not to run in the road, I should thank them because I wasn't smart enough to understand that them cars can kill me like that. Right? I may not have been wise enough to understand, but you know what? They were showing their love to me saying, stay away from that. That's bad for you. Hey, guys, God's showing his love to you saying to Michael, be careful. Stay away from that. That'll hurt you. You say, no, I can take care of it. Okay. You can reject it or accept it, but God's saying, hey, I love you, and I'm showing you this is right or this is wrong. The love is abhorred. Hey, guys, don't get the rules mindset out of whack. The devil's going to try to beat you in the head saying, oh, you can't do this? Or you have to do this? No, I don't have to. I get to. And if God doesn't want me to do it, I don't need it in the first place. Yep. Keep it in line, guys. Keep it in line. This is how the devil beats us up. This is how kids that have grown up in church end up hating church. This is how kids that have grown up hearing the Bible end up hating the Bible, because they've allowed the devil to talk to them and they let him get in their ear, and it keeps progressing and progressing and progressing. They never get the truth of God's word. They never appreciate the blessings of God in their life. And they're over here. Yeah, devil, you got a point. No, the devil's been spitting out lies like he always has. He is a liar. That's all that he says. But you know what? They've allowed that to go on and go on and go on and go on. Careful. He gets the mind. The rules mindset out of whack. You emphasize, young man, you emphasize the relationship. If there's times when you start saying, man, I don't want to do this, or God, this is hard, or I'm struggling, or whatever. We had a guy, some of you guys heard this like I did, a couple nights ago in a prayer group, saying, man, I just don't, sometimes I don't want to come to church. Sometimes I don't want to read my Bible. Hey, that happens sometimes. But you know what we need to do? We need to go to God and say, God, refuel me and refresh me. And God, give me what I need. God, I want to love you. You didn't quit for me when you died on that cross. God, I don't want to quit for you in my Christian life. We've got to emphasize that relationship. And the Lord will help you. The Lord can refuel you and refocus you and give you that fire again. He can do that. But we don't just have to say, Mike, you got to do more. No. He's not some slave master. He's a good savior that we get to serve. Amen. All right. The rules mindset gets out of whack. Hey, guys, can I also say, how does someone start hating the law that God has given to us? They get the rules mindset out of whack. You know how I think it keeps going, though? Complaining. Mm-hmm. I'm calling this revealing words, complaining. Now, guys, I'm not going to read all these. You can thank me later. But there are 11 instances when Israel was delivered out of Egypt, right? They were slaves there. God mercifully and powerfully brought them out of Egypt. Guys, there are 11 instances when they were in the wilderness that they're complaining. Every time you turn a page, every time you look at what they're doing, they're complaining. Complaining. After God saved their necks out of Egypt in a powerful way, the parting of the Red Sea, destroying the most powerful nation in the world, Egypt at that time. He pulls them into the wilderness and then taking them to the promised land, but they keep complaining. Hey, God, you say, well, Tom, why are we talking about this? Careful, because you know what's going to happen? The devil's going to get this out of whack in your mind and say, Ethan, you have to do this. Man, you just always at church, always at church functions. Because of your parents, you're always here. Got to do this, got to do that. Pick up chairs, take this table over here, blah, blah, blah. Hey, you remember you do it for the Lord, man. And whatever I do it for the Lord. Okay, you remember that because the devil wants to twist that in your mind, I'm telling you. But you know what it turns into? Revealing words. And maybe not to my parents, maybe not to pastor, maybe not when I'm at the 5-minute message, but when I'm with my friends, Wes, I'm over in the corner and I'm like, man, dude, I'm getting a little sick of this stuff. They always want me to do this and that and this and that. Can't they give me a break? And guys, you won't tell that to everybody because you don't want that to get out to everybody, but you'll tell it to those that you trust. Mm-hmm. Hey, and I'm not trying to get you to rat out anybody, but you be careful yourself and you be careful with your friends. Because you know what? If I do that with my friends, Ethan, I'm going to pull them down and I'm going to pull myself down. And who knows? I may make a comment like that and they may quit on God and I may have contributed to it. Whoa. Or if I keep thinking like that, I may quit on God. I don't want to do that. 11 different times. You can get the references later if you want. This is Exodus 14, they're complaining before they get to the Red Sea. They say, you brought us out here to die. The next chapter, 15, they don't have water. 16 of Exodus, they don't have food. 17, they don't have water again. Then you get into Numbers. Numbers 11, they're out of food. Numbers 12, Miriam is complaining about Moses. Why is he the leader? All right. Then they get right before, this is Numbers 13, they get right before going into the promised land. They say there's giants there. Are you kidding me? How in the world are we ever going to overtake this? God, what are you doing? All right, and it keeps going. They want to go back in the next chapter of Numbers. Then in chapter 16, this guy Korah rises up. He said, yeah, who made Moses the leader? I don't like his way of leadership. And then you get into chapter 20 of Numbers and the water again. And then chapter 21 of Numbers, the water and food. Hey, guys, you say, well, they had these needs. But you know what they needed to do? God, we need water. Obviously, God provided. That's what he did in the first. That's what he did when you read the whole story. But instead of saying, God, I have this need. God understands that we have needs. Guys, God's not up in heaven distracted or unaware of what's going on. He knows what's going on in your life and in my life. But if you have a need, go to him. Don't complain. But say, God, I need your help with this. God, I need you to provide this or do this for me or help me with this. God, I can't do it myself. But you know what they did? Soon as they run into a problem, oh, here we go again. Hey, guys, you start complaining. I'm telling you, the devil is at work in your heart and in your mind. You can listen to an hour worth of preaching, but not hear 1 second of it because in your mind, all you're thinking is, man, I don't know why I always have to do this stuff. Mm-hmm. Every day, did you read your Bible? Did you pray that? Ah, man, get off my case. They're doing it because they love you, guys. And they're training you, trying to help you in the long run. Listen, Israel, God delivered them. Guys, they should have been slaves for the rest of their lives and died in slavery. The history of the world would have said, who cares? Not important. Insignificant. Moving on. But God rescued those people out of certain death. And now they're out here. As soon as they run into some little problem, they say, oh, God, what are you doing? Oh. Guys, God, listen, God led you all this way and he knows what he's doing and he's not going to quit on you right now. He's going to keep taking you, but you need to trust in him. Hey guys, let me ask you this. Just let's bring it down home where we are. Are you a complainer? Talked about being thankful a little while ago. You know, the flip side of that, being a complainer. And I get it. Sometimes it's easy to complain, right? It's natural as human beings to be a complainer. It is. If you don't watch it, if you don't keep it in check, it's easy to be a complainer. Are you a complainer? Listen, those will be some revealing words. You start thinking, well, why did God make us do this? I mean, why do we have to do it now? Why do we have to do it this way? Why can't we do it that way? You think they're arbitrary, his commands, or just suggestions. They're not suggestions, they're commands. And you start thinking they're optional. You know what the Bible says in Philippians? I got to shut this down. Philippians 2. It says, do all things. What does that mean? Everything. Do all things without murmurings and disputings. Guys, that says everything. That's one of the most disobeyed verses in all of the Bible. Yep. Do everything basically without complaining. Woo! If that doesn't hit you right in your heart, guys, it probably will at some point, because it's very easy for all of us to complain. But you know what? The devil uses discontent, and the devil uses complaining, and the devil will take you and your friends down if you let these rules get out of whack in your mind, and then you start letting those revealing words. Hey, you want to know when somebody's starting to get in trouble of falling away from God? Listen to what they say. Mike, I just don't, man, every Thursday, we got to be out here visiting. Man, they always want me for this and that. Come on, man. What's going on with it? Hey, guys, be careful. Be careful. And listen, I'm not going to be up here saying, you know, and I'm not trying to complain. That would not be a good thing. But I'm not trying to be up here saying, you know, that I never have a question or saying, well, why are we doing it this way? I'm not saying that I'm always, praise God, we get to carry tables or whatever the job is right then. I'm not saying I'm like that. But you know what? I got to keep myself in check, say, hold on, they need this to be done. We're trying to reach people here, right? We're trying to glorify God. So let me just shut up and get to work. I have to do that to myself. I'm not preaching behind a pulpit, but I'm preaching to myself saying, come on, get your button gear and get over there and do it, right? So guys, I got to keep myself in check. But if you allow yourself to start complaining about everything, it shows a heart of ingratitude. And watch out, the law will be abhorred in your life. One more thing I'll give you, and then we'll shut it down for today. Guys, it's the way the devil wants us to think, it's restricted of our wants. You know what the devil wants us to view? The law of God and God telling us what to do. Nathan, he wants us to think it's limiting me. It's restricting me. It's holding me back. That's, I already mentioned that about how he said that to Eve. But you know what the world views about God? Let me see. I'm in. Yeah, this is in Psalm 2. This is what they're saying about God. They're trying to throw off God and throw off his rules. But this is what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. That's Psalm 2:3. You know what it's saying? The world views the law of God as restrictive. I can't go here. I can't do this. I can't watch this. I can't say this. Blah, 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 blah. Guys, that mindset can rub off on us too. You listening? That right mindset can rub off on you and me. And the devil's feeding that into your brain constantly. Don't allow it to happen. Say, no, no, no. The Lord is good to me. The Lord takes care of me. Listen, he's done great things in my life. That's why you got to go back and start appreciating what God has done again. That's so key. The law is abhorred and it turns into restrictive of our wants. How does somebody go back to bondage? They don't appreciate what God has done. They don't love him like they should. And the law of God starts becoming something that's abhorrent to them. They're always preaching to us. They're always on our case. Always got to do this. Can't watch these movies. Can't listen to these songs. Can't hang with these friends. Can't flirt with these girls. Blah, blah, blah. Careful, 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 careful. That's what the devil wants you to think. And guys, by the way, do you think that's the end result the devil's going for? No, he's just setting you up for something a lot worse. So watch out. Be careful. That's how the world views these laws, and it can rub off on us. They want us to see it as bondage and blockage and something that holds us back from what we really want to do. Well, my time is